So we're concluding our discussion of this line in the Mishnah, which describes the common denominator of all the Avos Nezikin, Atzad HaShavashim, Shadarkam Hazik, Shemas Melecha. It's obviously coming to include an additional case, which seems to be that everyone agrees to, but there's a machlokes in the Gemara, which case is it specifically referring to? Abai had his opinion, Rabbi had his opinion, Rav Avada Bar Ahava had his opinion that it's referring to the sewage that's allowed into the street during the winter time, that you have to pay if it causes damage, even though it was allowed to be there. So it's like a shor that's allowed to be there, but it does damage while stationary. That's like a bar. So it was derived from shor and bar. Ravina says, no, it's coming to include a different case. It's coming to include a wall that falls down, and you were given time to take care of it, and you didn't. So then the person is chayv. If you had no knowledge that the ground was weak, so then there isn't necessarily an obligation for you to assume that your building might tumble down. But if you were warned to take care of the building, and you didn't take care of it after the time had elapsed, then one would be obligated to pay, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to in that phrase, Atzad HaShavah Shebahen. Which of the Avos Nezikin is this derived from? So the Gemara says it's derived from bar. It's derived from bar because it seems to be stationary, but it's also derived from shar because it fell down. You didn't place it here. You built a building and then it fell down, so that was moving from place to place. But just like shor is dark lelech lahazik, and you're obligated for the damage that it causes, so over here the wall fell down. It wasn't a nezek when you first built it, but now it fell down and it is a nezek, so one would be obligated for the damages that occurred because of the derivation both from shor and from bar. But if you remember yesterday, we saw Taisus Dibre Maskelon Hainu that had a question, at what point is a person obligated for the damage that's caused by the wall that fell down? After it fell down, and now it's stationary and it's a bar, are we only talking about a case that, referring not after it fell down, but while it's falling down, and it tumbled, the rubble fell onto, some shlamazel who happened to be walking by this wall at the time that it fell on him? So Taisus at the beginning proves that it must be talking about that case, not after it fell down, someone tripped on it or fell onto it, but that the wall actually fell on you. Because if it was talking about a wall that had already fallen down, the Gemara said, should have said, we gave you time to remove the rubble, and you didn't remove the rubble. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, we gave you time to knock down the building and replace it. So it sounds like the damage that's occurring is occurring not after the building has already fallen down, then we should be discussing the rubble. We're discussing the building, though, because the damage that has occurred is as the building is falling, it fell on this individual. So if we're discussing a case as the building is falling, it's falling on someone, Taisus says, why then is it bar? It should be esh, because it's moving from place to place. It's no different than avno sakino maso, a package that I put on top of the roof, that blows off beruach mitzuya, that after it falls down and it's stationary, if someone gets injured, that's bar. But if it falls on you, falls on somebody as it's moving through the air, that's eish. That's no different than any other koach acham beruach. Anytime I harness a natural force to cause damage, like a fire that blows from place to place. So over here, the package fell off the roof in a normal wind. I should have been concerned that eventuality might occur, and therefore I'm responsible for the damage that it causes. As it's blowing away. So, but while it's moving, it has the status of Eish. After it's stationary in the ground, it has the status of Bar. So Taisa says, I understand that the that the wall, once it's fallen down, should have the status of Bar, but how come while it's falling, it has the status of Bar, while it's falling, excuse me, should have the status of Eish? That was the last line of Taisa over here in Vav Med Aleph. So Taisa says, because he says, even though bar doesn't travel and cause hezek, and here it's traveling, we should have derived it from bar. He says something very unusual. He says, well, it's a kavo chaymer from bar. If bar, while it's stationary, causes damage, you're chayiv. Here, while it's moving, kol shekein, you should be chayiv. It's true, but then we should call it eish. We shouldn't call it bor. But yet Taisus is assuming that it's called bor. The Gemara derived this cost of Eil and Shenafu from bor and from shor, not from eish. Why isn't it eish if it's moving at the time? And we're not talking about after the wall fell down. If we'd be talking about after the wall fell down, the Gemara should have said, we gave you time to remove the rubble. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, we gave you time to knock down the building. Must be we're concerned with the building falling, not with the damage caused by the rubble. And why is it bar? It should have been Eish. Then Tysus backtracks. Tysus Li'aylam is referring to both cases. Both after the rubble fell down and someone got damaged, and the wall falling on somebody. And when it fell on somebody at the time, you know, the wall is crumbling and it crumbled on this person, got caught underneath the rubble, that's Eish, because it's moving. After it's stationary, that's bar. But since that's the more likely scenario, or we wanted to include that case as well, we call the whole thing bar. But really, says Tysus, as it's falling, it should have the status of Eish. That was what Tysus said yesterday. We saw yesterday, though. Oh, I left it off the sheet. Did I? Obviously, you have the sheet from yesterday. We saw the Rush. The Rush quoted this suffix of Tysus in Perek Aleph. The end of Siman Aleph, I think. Quoted this suffix of Tysus. Does it have the status of bar or of eish? All the way at the end. The Rush says, Nistapkubataisis, where is it? Nistapkubataisis, if you have the sheet from yesterday, you have a Rush. Im Yeshlam din eish or din bar. And says the Rush, near the Yeshlahem, all the way at the end of Siman Aleph, the Yeshlam din bar velo damu la avno sakinu maso shenichem barosh gago. He says, even while it's falling, not after it's fallen down, of course that didn't spar. Even while it's falling, it has the status of bar. It's not the same as that case that it blew off the roof. Why not? Why isn't it similar to that case? Dahanach nasu bar al yedei koach acherim. Aval kos of Elon machmas reus anafon me'atzman. Those only became something that could cause damage because it, you know, through the wind that blew it off the roof. Here, and someone, you know, some other involvement. Here, the building fell down by itself. Kirosh lo hayu l'cholin l'amod yoser. When they saw it couldn't stand any longer. So what is the distinction? That's what we left off with yesterday. Why does the Rush say that it's considered to be bar as it's falling? How is it any different than a package that blows off the roof? So he says because a package that blows off the roof, there's some other force here which is acting upon it, as opposed to this building that just fell down on its own. Assumption is gravity is not another force. Gravity is just the principle of nature. That's his assumption. That gravity is not a secondary force like the wind. It's just reality as such. Which is a philosophical discussion regarding gravity. Is gravity another force? Or is gravity just the reality of nature? It's actually 2 days in the Ran. I meant to give it to you if you're interested in it. It's a Ran and Masech. The Sanhedrin has two opinions. Is gravity just a force, you know, just a reality? The things, you know, go up, come down? Or is that some sort of force of nature like the wind? But either way, the Rush says over here, assumes that it's not another force like the wind. This happens on its own. As opposed to the backage that blew off the roof, that was another force was acting upon it. What? What is that? What? What's the distinction that he's saying? What exactly is going on here? Yeah.
So would the Rush hold that if you were to just hold a knife on top of the building and just let go of it, and that's force?
We had that case. That's the case. The Gemara Sanhedrin talks about a guy throws something up straight in the air and it falls directly down underneath you. So Gemara says you're potter. If it goes to either side, so he said then if you know, there's two vectors. There's the vector up and the vector to the side. So then your force acts upon it. It kills somebody next to you, then you're chayv. If it just goes straight up and straight down, you're potter. So the Ran there asks, and that Gemara in Ayin Zayin, the Ran asks, why is it any different than Eish, something that blows off a roof and then kill somebody that you're liable? Here, because it's, you know, considered to be your action, here you threw it up and it came straight down. That's gravity. You harness gravity to kill somebody. See, his two opinions. Is gravity really harnessing another force, or is gravity just like kind of a rule of nature that exists beyond you? Because you didn't do anything. I threw it up. The fact that it comes down is not considered to be a continuation of my action. It's different than if I use a wind or I use... Yeah.
So if you drop the knife from like the roof and then the wind pushes it.
See, but no, but here I dropped it, I pushed it down. Here you threw it up and then it came back down. Yeah. So maybe that's like throwing it up.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. What do you want to say?
If you threw it up and it went straight down, but the wind pushed it off a little bit, would you be responsible?
Yes. Oh, but the wind pushed it off.
Yeah.
So then you harness the wind. Yeah. Might depend if the wind acted. Okay, it's a larger discussion. If the wind started when you threw it, or the wind came later. We don't have time. Or far off field. But let's get back over here. What's going on? The Rush said, while it's falling as a dinner bar, because it's not the same as a package that blew off the roof with the wind. Here, it just fell by itself. And let's assume for the argument's sake, gravity is not another force. Gravity is just the reality of life. But what is this distinction focused on? Why? Why is this bar and not Eish? It's moving. So if you look at the Nachlas David, one of the classical Achreinim, the Talmud from Chaim Volozhiner, and his commentary, Masechtas Bava Kama, says the following distinction. The Kol Ikra Achiluk says the distinction is when something blows off the roof, it flies somewhere else. That's what the Rush means. A force acted upon it and brought it from point A to point B. That's Eish. Eish travels. Bar stays in one place. And even though this is moving, it's falling down, it's all the same general area. It's limited in its scope because it fell by itself right here. And there's no other force acting upon it to bring it somewhere else. So therefore, says in Achlas David, the kol ikar achiluk shebein bar le'esh, who? De'esh hoylech umazik, umazik es hanizik b'kol makom shehu. Eish can catch you wherever you are. Ubabar hula hepoch. Shamazik omedo amdov. Anizik holech me'elov. Abor is it standing right here, and the nizik came to it. That's the difference between Eish and Bar. They both cause damage, and there's similarities between the two, but the fine line between them is Bar. You have to come to the to that which causes the damage. Eish, the damage found you. It's only something that the wind carries it. It can go as far as the wind will take it. It can catch you wherever you are. But a wind, you know, the wall or tree, it can only fall in that immediate area. They can't go any further. The nizik has to come here to become damaged. V'imkein bar mamishu. It's literally a bar. Ukebar arich the dummy. It's like a big bar, though. That's what he says. Kemotel de gavoa. It's like a tall mountain. This is a big bar. You can have a deep, big mountain. You can have a big, wide bar. Hachinami chada bar hu milmala ad makom sheyuchal lipo me'atzman. As far as it can fall, that's all. Okay. Kevin da nizak tzarek lavo shama el makom hanezek. The nizak has to come here. Kay near lefiyan is died to be yishuv divrei rosh unachan svar. That's what the rosh. That's how the nachlas David learns pshat in the rosh. So based on this nachlas David, Stipler has over here in Siman Dalin the following suffix, which he resolves based on the nachlas David. He says, what do you say about the following case? A guy digs a pit, but no one, you know, got damaged necessarily by falling into the pit, but in the bottom of the pit, someone else comes and puts a fire. Lights a fire in the bottom of the pit. Fire's not going anywhere because it's stuck in a pit. Then what happens? We know, we saw in the Fahim Ebeis, bar, each one of the others, Nezikin, has certain loopholes, certain carve-outs and exclusions. Bar is pater for Kalim and Adam. Eish is pater for Tamun, if it's not visible initially, it's concealed. But it's chayiv for Adam and Kalim. What do you say over here? Kalim fall into this pit. And in the pit, the kli didn't get broken by the pit. But what happened? And even if it would have, bar is putter on Kalim. But it got burned by the fire. Fire is chayiv on Kalim. Should this be considered Eish or should this be considered bar? The fire, pit. What's the story with the fire pit? Yeah, that's the suffix. Is this Eish or Bar? So says the Stipler, the suffix is, why? Because usually what's the difference between Bar and Eish? Eish causes damage proactively. Bar, meaning it itself is what causes the damage. Not that, you know, it burns something, that's proactive. Bar typically causes damage passively. Someone fell into it and got hurt. You don't get hurt by a fire. The fire burns. It's active, as opposed to a bar. The bar itself is passive. Someone could get hurt by the bar. But here, it's active. It's not passive. What's causing the damage? The fire. The fire that burned the kalim. So should we call this Aish or should we call it bar? It says this disciple over here, the following suffix. Over here, Aish Beis. Aish Beis. Hi, bar. Asu bishu sarabim. Uba achmin yeshem gecholim. There was a bar, and then someone came and put coals. The fire can't go anywhere. Enough lusham kalim, and kalim fell in v'nisrafu, and they got burned. The chayv al kalim kedin eish, or the potter al kalim kedin bar. Are you chayv or potter on kalim? V'takol sheniyim b'shus harama. Suffik b'zeh says this type of the suffik is the following: the b'pshuta mevor b'gemara, the ha de eish adif mi bar. Why is eish more obvious you should be chayv for the nezik than bar? Because Aish is ha'ilech umazik. Aish goes out and causes damage proactively. Here it came to the Aish. Maybe that's more similar to bar. But Yesh lamed the dinner ketakala, so bar. It's not the same as bar. She'eno mazik klal. The bar really doesn't cause damage. Someone falls in, gets damaged. Because of the ground and gravity. After it falls in the cold, burn him. Burn the kalim. So is this Aish or is this bar? So what would you say, Chavra? Can you have a bar that's proactive? Can you have a bar that it's not just you fell in and got hurt, but it actually is what caused the damage? Kind of a bar that is proactive in causing damage. So according to the Rush, you can. That's what the Stipler says. Stipler says, look over here. A wall is falling down, and it fell onto this individual, and he got trapped underneath the rubble and got hurt. So this bar is not staying in one place. Not that, you know, you fell into the bar. The bar came and attacked you. So you see, you can have an active bar that causes the damage. And what is the definition, the line in the sand then, between bar and aish? Not active and proactive. What is the difference in the line in the sand between bar and aish? The difference is, does it stay in one place? Is it stationary? Or is it mobile? And over here, since this aish is trapped in a pit, it's stationary. So the Stockport says, look at the Nachlas David. You see that anything that's stationary, even though it's proactive and it causes damage, like this wall that fell on this fellow, since it's localized to this one area, that's bar, not aish. So to over here, the pit and the fire with the in the pit should be considered bar, not aish.
So you'd say the same thing by, let's say, a torch or, like, you know, a fire lamp in the middle of the street that someone sets down.
Again, if a wind came and started...
I'm saying, like, someone, you know, gets damaged because, you know, whatever...
He ran into the tiki torch?
Right.
Yeah.
And then, like, let's say burns his clothing.
That would be a bar.
Right.
Not an ish.
Yeah. So, like, it would be the same case?
If that ish didn't travel or can't travel, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying bar is proactive breaking the kalim because of the ish inside it.
Correct. So maybe something that's proactive can't be bar. It has to be aish. But the truth of the matter is, we see from over here that a wall falling down is aish, even though it's proactive. Bar, even though it fell on this guy. So you see, even though it's proactive, since it's localized in this one place, that's bar,
it's
not aish.
So
the other proof, very good. That's what the Stipler says. The other proof is, if I dig a pit, we already saw the opinion of Rav, that you're chai for havlo, not for chavto. So what am I really chai for when I dig a pit? The bad air. I created that bad air, and I'm chai for that. That's also active, says the Steinplan. That also goes out and causes damage. Not that a person got hurt in it. It actively, if the person falls in, suffocates him. So says the Steinplan. That's also active. So you see that a bar can indeed be active, yeah?
What if you... go with, like, someone into, like, a body of water,
no.
And there's, like, a little, like, whirlpool that just, like, expands and then eventually sucks the guy in.
Wow.
It's like a pit.
undertow. You're saying undertow.
Possibly. I don't know, like, the right term for, like, you know, like, something that, like, sucks you into the middle and there's, like, a hole.
A whirlpool, yeah. But, yeah, but you have it more in the ocean. Extreme. That's the undertow.
Yeah. But you cause the guy to go into the
I push water. Him into the...
And then the whirlpool just, like, expands.
To the sinkhole. That's Mahab Shabar, isn't it?
I would think so. Wouldn't that be considered an
it's literally a pit. Right?
Yeah. No one creates it. That's like...
Yeah, that's
no,
like...
No one creates it, but you're the one that caused him to go down.
No, then I'm other... Then no. If I push a guy into a pit, I'm an other Mamazik.
You didn't cause him to go, like, into the pit, like, into the
world. But a bar is putter for other because the guy came to it by himself. If I push him in, then I'm an other Mamazik. I killed him by use of pit, not by use of gun. So.
But if it just happened to suck him in, that wouldn't be your fault.
If he came there on his own, then it's a bar. And a bar is putter. If I created the pit, if I created a sinkhole, then I'm the balabar. But Adam is putter, a bar is putter for Adam, because he should have avoided it. Our subject yesterday was, what if he can't avoid it? He didn't know that it was there, and he got stuck in the sinkhole. But either way, generally, bar is putter on Adam. Okay, so that's one way of understanding the rush. What's one way of understanding the rush? Why is this wall that's falling down of the status of bar, not of Aish? It's falling, after all. So the Nachas David told us, because even though it's active, it could still be bar since it's limited to one location. And therefore the stipler says, if you have a fire in a pit, that would have the status of bar, not of Aish, because it's limited to this one location. However, if you look in the Sheet of Mekubetzes, it has a little bit of a different formulation than the Rush. I believe he's saying the same thing, but perhaps leads us in somewhat of a different direction. The Sheet of Mekubetzes says over here, Bekasha, is Gimel, Amai lo diek, iba hadi tekaazli kamazki, hainu Aish. Why didn't the Gemara say, if the wall is falling on you, it's a fire, it's not bar? Really, it just phrased in a different way, but the same kasha as the Rosh. Or as Tosis, why isn't it Aish? Why is it bar? The Aish lomar deloy domi le'esh. The Aish miyad shenaseh hu niskak l'shomro u'lahalos bedato sheyazik ayidei ruach metzuya. The minute you create it, you created something dangerous. You created a liability. You created a weapon. Yeah? You weaponized something by putting it on the roof. You created something dangerous. When you create a fire, you're creating something dangerous.
Isn't that Bor's characteristic?
About Kois of Eilon, Lekalamei Marachi. When you create a wall and a tree, that's not necessarily the case. The Bishas Natiu Binyan Lohayalo Lalos Bedato Shiyiplu Lizma Maruba. When I create a wall and a building, I don't necessarily have in mind that I'm creating a weapon. It became weaponized later when the building fell down and I was negligent. He seems to be saying something else. And it sounds like the opposite. You're saying bar also generally creates something that could cause damage. That's what's specific about bar and Aish. I created something dangerous. So it could be the Shittim Kubetz is really saying something else, and we're going to have to understand that, as John is pointing out. Really, here you also, bar also, you created something dangerous. But there's a difference here between bar and Aish. They have something in common, but there's also an important difference. So Baruch Ber explains in the Birkas Shmuel and Siman Yud the following insight. Something we've touched upon, but perhaps we're going to broaden it a little bit. And that is, I think we talked about it yesterday, the day before. And that is that by Shor, and let's say Maveh, Adam Mazik, you are chayav for the damage that occurs as a result of you not watching over your property. Bar, and... And Aish, a person is chayiv, at least by bar, we know it's the case, we've discussed it, perhaps it's even true by Aish. You're chayiv for creating something which will later cause damage. But your real culpability, your real responsibility, is not in the damage that ensued, but rather in creating the dangerous item in the first place. Shor, I didn't create the Shor. Or Mavag, if it means Adam or Shane. or some other property of mine that causes damage, these are inherently safe items. They just happen to cause damage, and I'm responsible for the damage that ensues. By bar, you're not responsible for the damage. What are you responsible for? Creating the dangerous item in the first place. And that's true as well. That's the case as well. By Eish, you're responsible for creating the dangerous thing in the first place. But there's a difference between bar and Eish. Bar, as we said already, causes damage even passively. Eish generally only causes damage actively. It goes out and seeks to cause damage. You don't get hurt by a fire. The fire came and hurt you. Eish is more active. So therefore, says Baruch Be'er the following thing. I can have a bar that's created passively because the damage that's caused by bar is passive. So for example, if I am negligent, something that broke. I'm carrying a water bottle, you know, a glass bottle in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah, and it breaks. I had every right to bring it there, but now it broke. So if I don't clean it up, that's a bar. And I'm responsible for it and the damage that later ensues. So it can be created passively. And Eish, since the damage that it causes is active, so I have to be active in the creation of the Eish as well. So therefore, says the Baruch Be'er, that's what the Shita Mekubetzes is telling us. Here, when you built this building, you didn't create anything dangerous. And since the damage that's caused by Eish is active, you have to be active in creating the Eish. If you weren't active in creating the Eish, so then, you're not chai for Eish. In fact, he quotes from the Gemara later on. The Gemara says on Daf Samach, Amid Aleph. That if there's a little bit of a spark, here the Gemara Samach Amid Aleph with the two dots, a few lines down in the Gemara, 5-6 lines down. Liba v'libsa haruach, I light a little fire. And the wind comes and expands the fire. You know, air is good for a fire. It causes it to get bigger. So if, you know, what I lit, it was enough to go out and continue to burn elsewhere, then I'm chayiv. If the wind is what caused it to become a dangerous fire, not my fire, the initial fire, then I'm potter. Even though I lit a little fire, and the wind came and made it into a bigger fire. If my little fire couldn't cause any damage, it's only because the wind came later, I'm potter. Why? I lit the little fire, says the Baruch Be'er, because in creating an Eish, you have to be active. You have to be the one who created that which is dangerous. Because Eish is different, again, than Shor, where you just chai for the damage that ensues as a result of your action. Here, you're chai for creating a dangerous situation, both by bar and by Eish. Either because bar, the guy got hit, you know, he fell into the ground. That's not my fault. Gravity, that's not my fault. I have to create something dangerous. I created Hevel. I created the Avnus Akinu Maso. I created a dangerous situation. But by bar, you could even create a dangerous situation passively. Because the damage that occurs as a result of bar is passive. So if I'm passive and negligent in removing the rubble from the, you know, from the road, or I'm passive and negligent in tearing down the building when I know it's condemned, and it later falls on somebody, that's a bar. Why isn't it Eish? Even though it's moving, the answer is because I didn't create a dangerous item when I built the building. The building is not weaponized. The building is a building. As opposed to a package on the top of the building, that's already dangerous. You're already playing with fire, no pun, right? You're already handling something that's... We see the danger that's already been created by placing, you know, a package on the top of Belfer Hall. This is not going to end well. Were you over here? Were you there? No, way before your time. But the guy who grappled down Belfer? Yeah. Remember that? Repelled or down Belfer. Not advocating, that's terrible. Anyway, so it's not going to end well. Anything at the top of Belfer does not end well. So we know already it's dangerous. That could be called Eish. You created a dangerous item here. Whereas Bar Both of them are creating dangerous items. Aish maybe goes out and seeks to cause damage. Bor, you have to come to here. But a bor can even be created passively. So we don't have to take the Nachas David's approach and say, well, even though it's moving, it you know, this is not called really moving. It's just a larger area, you know, a more expansive area of stationary. The wall fell down on you. Yeah, but that's all really the same general area, and therefore it's called bor because it's limited in its scope. Maybe we could claim that it's called bor because not even though it's moving, because it can't be called aish. In both situations, you created something dangerous, but here you didn't create it actively, you created it passively. And aish can only be created, can only be accomplished if you created something dangerous actively. Like I put a package on the top of the roof. That's already dangerous. Here, I built a building. Building is safe. Ooh, now it's condemned, and I was negligent in tearing it down. So it created, caused something that caused damage, but that was passive. So all it can be at that point is bor. It can't be aish. Because bor, since it causes damage passively, typically you have to come to the bor. The bor doesn't come to you. But since the bor, your involvement is more passive, but yet your chayiv sot over here, since you were passive in tearing down the building, when it falls down, or if it falls on someone, it could be considered bor. So look back at the Shita Mekubetz, it seems to fit very well into the language. Shita Mekubetz is here, says you didn't create anything dangerous only through your negligence. Oh, so then that's like bor. Bor, since it causes damage passively, you can create it passively. So if I didn't clean up the shards of glass, that's a bor, even though I did nothing wrong necessarily in bringing the bottle here or dropping it by accident. But since I didn't clean it up, that's a bor. So bor can be created passively because it causes damage passively. So if it's sort of over here, this was passive, I didn't tear it down once it was condemned, then it can't be considered aish. Aish requires more active involvement. That's how Rabbi Bar learns this, Shitim Kubetzis. All right, Rabbi, so let's continue on. Back to Vavam Abeis. Simur goes on. Yeah. Oh, next line of the Mishnah. We're parsing the language of the Mishnah. Kishayizik Chavamazik. When that person gets damaged, the person who caused the damage is obligated to pay. Chavamazik. Chayvamazik Miboyle. He should have said he's Chayiv. What's this Chav business? Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav. Hi Tana Yushalmi. Who the Tani Goy solution to Kalila? This is a Yushalmi guy, so he speaks in abbreviations. Okay. So he preferred to say Chav instead of Chayiv. Semantic issue. Okay. The Gemara continues on. Kishahizik, I'm sorry, Lashalim Tashlum Enizik. That you have to pay the damages that were caused. Tana Rabbanan, what's a brisa? Meitav Sadeu, Meitav Karmo Yishalim. The Pasuk says, Parashas Mishpatim, that when you cause a fire, you have to pay Meitav Sadeu, Meitav Karmo. You have to pay from the Meitav, from the best of your properties. Of course, if you're paying cash, you can pay cash. We're talking over here, instead of paying cash, you're paying, you can write a check, of course, but you're paying with property. You can pay shove kesef is kekesef. Maybe we'll get to tomorrow. But generally speaking, that which is worth money has the status of money. If you're here for kedushin, you know that. Shove kesef is kekesef. Something that's worth money has the status of money itself. So let's say you could get married with a ring. Even though a ring itself is not kesef, it's not currency, it's not legal tender. When we say kesef, it means even shove kesef, something that's worth money, that has value, like a ring. So you can pay tashlume nezikin, not only with cash, or the you can even pay with the equivalent, with something that's worth money, and even real estate. But when you're paying with real estate, you have to pay meitav, the best of the properties. Mate of Sadeh or mate of Karma Yisham, yeah? Okay. But of whose best properties? Mate of Sadeh or mate of Karma Yisham? Mate of Sadeh or Shonizak? Or mate of Karma Shonizak? Give Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, the best of the properties of the Nizak. Meaning I have to pay him the best of his properties. So the Gemara at this point thinks what that means is it's a little counterintuitive. We have to even get into the head of the Havamin of the Gemara. It's so unusual. It's not what we would have thought. We would have jumped to the Maskana. But this is what the Gemara thinks at this point, is that if I, let's say, burn down his worst property, I have to pay him back the value of his best property. So if the guy has one vineyard, you know, that has $100 worth of fruit in it, He's another vineyard that has $100,000 worth of fruit in it. I have to pay him the value of the field that's worth $100,000, even though I only burned down the field that was worth $100. I have to pay him the equivalent as if I burned down his best property. That's how Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara initially understood Rabbi Shmuel. I have to pay him the value of his best property. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo ba kasim le gabos and ezikim in aidis. No, you have to pay him the value of your best property. So if I burn down his property, it was only worth $100, but I have a $100,000 property, I have to pay him the best of my properties, $100,000. The Kavachomer, the Hector, certainly this is the case if you damage something that belongs to Hector. Says the Gemara, what? Rabbi Shmuel, achol shmeinu mishalim shmeinu. If you eat something that's fatty, meaning that's worth a lot of money, you got to pay back that which is worth a lot of money. Achol kachusha mishalim shmeinu. Well, I burned down this pity little field, you know, there's a puny little field. I have to pay back, you know, with a field that's fat, with a field that's worth a lot of money. Why should I have to pay more than I caused the damage? So I'm Rav Yehuda Bar Rav, and Hakum Mayas Kino. No, you're right. Of course, you only have to pay back commensurate with the damage that you caused. Oh, that's done. That Havamina is gone. But that was the Havamina of the Gemara. That you have to pay back the best of the properties, of his properties, as if I damaged the best of his properties, or if I damaged the best of my properties. Even though I didn't damage the best of my property or his property, I damaged the cheap little property. That was the Havamina of the Gemara. They'd have to pay back more than I caused the damage. The Gemara says, no, that's off the table. Amar Avidi Barabin, how come I is kinon? Kigon shalcha aruga ben arugos. My animal ate his produce in one of the rows. Lo yadin echusha acha ishmein acha. This guy said it was full of, berries and fruits. I say, what are you talking about? There was nothing left over there. So we have a machlekes. So how much do I pay him back? We don't know. Was it shmein or was it chusha acha the mishalim shmein? Pasuk comes to tell you, pay the best. You assume that it was full. So Amar Rava, what? If we knew it was a weak row of fruit, we would have paid nothing. Paid a weak row of fruit. Now we don't know if it was a strong row of fruit or a weak row of fruit. You have to pay more? How much make a You want to say that it was a better row of fruit? Bring proof. Show me pictures. Show me the footage. How do you know that this was a good row of fruit? It should be no different than any other monetary dispute that you have to bring a proof if you want to take my money. Here's the case. Kagon Chahaisa Idis Deniza Kizibur is Demazik. What happened? You only have to pay back the value of the damage that you caused. Okay, that's off the table, the idea that you have to pay more. Definitely not. But what do I have to pay? When I'm giving him, you can't come and pay him pennies, Like the guy, I owe you $150? Sure, here you go. Here's a backpack and a truckload of pennies. Nobody wants that. You could probably force the bank to accept it, someone to accept it, because it's legal tender. You can't reject it, but not nice. Okay, so too when it comes to properties. I damage your property, I say, I have a field, somewhere in Greenland, it's worth a little money, I'll give you that field. The guy said, what do I know from, I don't want to know, Greenland, I don't want to go there. He wants a property over here, near New York. Where do I want a property over there? So I say, well, it's worth the money that that you're owed. Go look at it on Zillow or something. You can get the money for it. Guy said, no, I want a property, in Detroit. You don't want a property over there. You want the property over here. Nothing against Detroit. Fine. But he doesn't want that weak property. He wants a better property. Sigmar says, that's when you have to pay Edis. Obviously, the value, of course, you have to pay him. And I certainly don't have to pay him more, or you can't get away paying him less. But which properties can I pay him? Can I pay him in those properties nobody, it's worth money, but I don't want and he doesn't want? Or do I have to give him the best? So you have to give him the best, but whose best? My best or his best? That's the machlek between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Amar Rachba Yahu, Rachma Eskinon. Kagan Shahai Se'id is Denizik, Kizibor is Demazik. The id is, if we both have the same lifestyle and property portfolio, what's the difference? The difference will be if they're not the same. They're not the same. Kigon, what's the case? Should I say either the nizik is he bears the mazik? The nizak, the one who got damaged, didn't have that big of a portfolio. The guy who damaged him's got a huge portfolio. He's a cash cow, this guy. He's got deep pockets. So now what? Do I get, the Park Avenue real estate? Or can he still stick me with the, Are we still somewhere in Brazil, in Argentina? What's going on? So that's the suffix, that's the machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Shmuel say? My time, how come I see the I see either the Nizik birds of Mazda, hopefully Rabbi Shmuel suffer, but the Nizik Shaiminon. That whatever is his best, I can get away with paying him. So the Mazik can pay him with his own Zibiris, my worst property. If that's for him, corresponds to his best property. Rabbi Akiva suffer, no, but the Mazik Shaiminon. You have to give him your best property, the guy who caused damage. My time with Rabbi Shmuel, what's the reason for Rabbi Shmuel? Nemar Sada Lamata, Veneda Sama Lamayla. We have Sada twice in this parsha. Once when it causes damage, and once in terms of what you have to pay. When it causes damage, it's referring to the Sada of the Nizak. So therefore, when you have to pay him in Meitav, it's referring to the Sada of the Nizak. My time with Shmuel, Nemar Sada Lamata, Veneda Sada Lamayla. One, when it got damaged, it'll be a Besteyacher. And one, mate of Sada, mate of Kamu, mate of Sadeu, Yishalim, which you have to pay. Both are Torah and Isaac. Ma Sada Ulu, Maila, then Isaac, of Sada Haoma Lamata, then Isaac. Rabbi Kiva, mate of Sadeu, mate of Kamu, Yishalim, the Eich, the Kamishalim. Sadehu, it says, your field, you got to pay him from your best, the Mazik's best. That's Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yishmael, Ahanik Zerashova, Ahanik Kro. He says, Ahanik Zerashova, Kid the Karminon. We have Xeris Shava, Sadeu, Sade, Sade. Says Sade refers to the Nizak, the one who got damaged, when you have to pay. Mate, mate of Sadeu refers to the Nizak. Ahani Kra, but one second, it also says Sadehu. Why does it say Sadehu? Your Sade of the Mazik, says Rabbi Shmuel. The Israel the Mazik Idis Viziboris. It's referring to the following case. Pay attention. The Mazik has Idis and Ziboris. Yeah? Like this. The Mazik.
2 days in a row, huh?
The Mazik and the Nizak. So the Nizak has, you know, his Idis and his Ziboris. And the Mazik has Idis and Ziboris, yeah? But let's say, so what the Machlokes is, when the Ziboris of the Mazik are equal to the Idis of the Nizak, so can he get away with paying him Ziboris? Rabbi Shmuel holds, yes, you can pay with your Ziboris. Rabbi Kiva holds, no, you always have to pay with your Idis. That's my focus with Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. But says Rabbi Shmuel, if you always have to pay with his Idis, his best property, so then why does it say Sadehu? To teach you the following. What if his Idis is worth more than the Mazik Ziboris? Somewhere in between. So now you can't pay him Ziboris. Your Ziboris doesn't equal his Idis. So what do you have to pay? But it's not equal to your Idis. Your Idis is still above his, yeah? Your Idis is here, your Ziboris is here, and his Idis is right there. So then you have to pay your Idis. We go up to your Idis. That's Sadehu. If your Ziboris, the Mazik Ziboris equals his Idis, you can get away with paying Ziboris according to Rabbi Shmuel. But if it doesn't equal his Ziboris, it's worth more than his Ziboris. His best property is worth more than your weak property, or is better than your weak property. So then you can't pay him in quantities of Ziboris because his best property is worth more. But your best property is way more valuable than his best property. So what do? A dilemma. So that's what Bishma says. In that scenario, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree with Rabbi Kiva, you have to pay your Idis. That's Meitav Sadehu. Why don't we discuss the other scenario? What's another scenario where this machlokes could in theory arise? Yeah, why don't the Gemara discuss where the Idis of the Mazik is equal to the Ziboris of the Nizak? According to Rabbi Kiva, you should be able to get away with paying your Idis. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you should have to pay his Idis. So Taisa says, no, that case we didn't discuss. Look at Taisa's different maskil. Kigon, v'ibcha lo matzi lemeimar. That case we couldn't discuss. Dekuli amamodu de'em eshal me'idis she'yesh lo ve'en tarach liknos. You never have to buy new properties to pay. So let's say the Mazik you know, only has cheap iddis. He never has to buy, if he would have to pay iddis of the nizak, he'd have to go out to the store or go to Zillow and buy new properties. You're never obligated to buy new properties to pay back. You only pay from the best of that which you have. So I would never, the mazik can never be obligated to pay more than this. So Rabbi Shmuel can say, if let's say this equals this, yeah? That your iddis equals his ziboris, I never have to go out and get, you know, ide iddis, you know, in order to equal his iddis. You never have to do that. You don't have to go out and get the best of the best. So that's why we didn't even bother discussing that scenario. All right? The machlokes is only that scenario. You can never pay more than your iddis. The machlokes is, what if your ziboris equals his iddis? Rabbi Shmuel holds you pay with your ziboris. Rabbi Kiva holds you pay with your your iddis. You have to pay this. Rabbi Kiva holds you have to pay your iddis. Shmuel holds you pay his iddis, which equals your ziboris. We had, though, that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, what if his iddis is more than your ziboris, but not as much as your iddis? Then all of a sudden you jump to his iddis. What about the following case? What about the following case? We have mazik. Yeah, Heber, we got the machlokes. We're all good on that?
Good.
Following case. Iddis. Beinonis. Most of us are beinonim, right? Halavai, we shall be a baby. He's got iddis. What if his iddis equals the bainonis? What now? So Rabbi Kiva would always hold, you pay your iddis. Always. Always your iddis. You never have to go out and get more, but your iddis. Rabbi Shmuel holds that you pay his iddis. But his iddis doesn't equal your ziboris. His iddis equals your bainus. So then you pay bainus. What if, yeah, that's fair. What if his iddis is in between ziboris and bainus? So what did we say already? What did we say already? We said already,
can't pay below that.
Well, yeah, we said what? We said if it's iddis and ziboris, and his iddis equals in between, what did the Gemara say? According to Rabbi Shmuel, you go up. What do you go up to? This is within Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva, you're always paying iddis, yeah? Always. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, normally you could get away with paying ziboris if your ziboris equals his iddis. What if it's in the middle? What do? You go up to iddis. What about over here if it's in the middle? Do you go up to bainonis or do you go up to iddis? What's that do? What do you say?
Stay bainonis.
Stay bainonis.
You're always paying the value of his iddis.
Let's see the rush. Let's see the rush over here. Always hey. Is that the rush? It says, V'i islay lamazik, iddis. Ubeinan is v'ziboris. V'lo shavya ziboris demazik ki iddis denizik. The ziboris of the mazik are not equal to the iddis of the nizik. Ubeinan is shavya tfei me iddis denizik. This case. The beinanis are worth more than the iddis, but the ziboris are not worth as much. It's in between. So is the Yamri, do you have a Beinonis? Okay, so you go up to the next Madrego, you go up to the next Shlav, the next plateau, the next classification, you go up to Beinonis. Is the Yamri, do you have a Beinonis? And the what's the Raya? The Gemara never discussed the case with Beinonis. Why did the Gemara only assume it's in between Ziboris and Indus, but there's no Beinonis? Because if there would be Beinonis, what do you pay? You pay Beinonis. And if there'd be Beinonis in between here, you pay Beinonis. So it's all over here. Go up to the Beinonis. The only time you go up to Iddis is when there's no Beinonis. That was the case of the Gemara, where there was no Beinonis. Umedadaktik me deshavi Gemara Beinonis, alma e havale Beinonis, deshavi tfeme Iddis denizik, ye hevle Beinonis. Your Beinonis is worth more than his Iddis. Fine. Ve'is di amri. Afilu hachi, yehevle idis. No, says the Rosh. If yours are not worth the same as his Zibaris or idis, and it's not the same as his Beinonis either, it's in between, you jump to idis. If it's worth exactly the same as the Beinonis, I presume he would hold you pay Beinonis. If it's worth exactly the same as your Zibaris, you pay your Zibaris. But if it's in between Zibaris and Beinonis, so then we jump to idis. That's the Rosh. And you'll say, ah, that's one opinion the Rosh quotes. He doesn't mean it. The Rosh sides with that opinion. Venir Ali, Dahanik Zera Shova, Hani Krot Havayu L'Shalom Imetav. Ahanik Zera Shova L'Shalom Lo Mizi Boris Demazik, Kishihi Idiz Denizik. What does the Zera Shova tell me? That if Ziboris of your Ziboris equals his Idiz, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you pay your Ziboris. That's the Zera Shova. What does the pasuk tell me? Meitav sadehu the mazik sidis v'hani kroa k'she'ena k'miyitav denizak l'shalom meitav the mazik. You pay from the meitav of the mazik. D'la olam be'inan meitav. O the mazik, o denizak. You always have to pay for meitav, the mazik or the nizak, or the nizak. V'hai denokat idis. Viziboris, Rashavik Bainam should go his girl Hanak the Mishtal Mehamei Karmi Ziboris, the Mazik, Mahashim, Idis, Ulio, Mafil, Islay, Gam Bainam, Zishan, Matev Shalom. Says the Rosh, doesn't matter, even if there be Bainam is here, you jump straight to Idis. Why do you jump straight to Idis? Says the Rosh, he gives you a long distance via Torah. He says, why? You always have to pay Idis. Someone's Idis is getting paid over here. So the Rebbe Shmuel holds is Idis, the Nizak. Matav Sadeh, who? Ubiu Bisne Acher refers to the Nizak. Normally pay Idis the Nizak if that equals Ziboris the Mazik. So if it equals Ziboris the Mazik, Rabbi Shmuel holds, you pay this. Rabbi Kiva holds, you pay this. But someone's getting paid Idis. He's getting paid the equivalent of his Idis. But what if his Idis doesn't equal your Ziboris? So then, if you give him Ziboris, that's too cheap. But if you give him Beinonis, that doesn't equal his idis, and it's not your idis either. So then you got to jump to this idis. That's meitav sadehu. You got to pay your idis. Someone's got to get idis here. Either the nizak's equivalent of his idis, but if there's nothing that's equal to his idis, that's on par, you jump to your idis. That's the Rosh. Yeah.
Can you just say that the bandis is even better than his idis, so it's still like idis?
So what would the other opinion hold? The other opinion would probably hold what you just said, which is, no, there's one din over here. You can't pay him less than his idis. Yeah? He's entitled to his idis. This is his idis plus. How could that be any worse than his idis? His idis is less valuable than this Beinonis. So the other opinion Rishonim probably holds, there's only one din here. He's entitled to this. That's it. And if you want to give him one better, give him a shtickle better. What harm does that cause? So that's how Reb Shmuel learns the other opinion over here. And we'll have to pick up with this tomorrow. Reb said, look at this Reb Shmuel. But we're going to see you can't say like Reb Shmuel. Because we're going to see that there's a Rajba, Ritva, I'm sorry, I should have said Ritva. Reb Shmuel already mentions it. It's not like we got one up on Reb Shmuel. But the Ritva already, Reb Shmuel already quotes the Ritva, which means we're going to have to learn some sort of different shot. And then look at Oisches, look at Rav Gusman. Has a beautiful explanation of what's going on over here. The 2 days in the Rosh, we'll pick up on that tomorrow. Okay, Shem. Sorry, it's a little late.